Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to episode 8 of Read Me a Nightmare. I'm Angelique Fons, your host, and if you like muscular bikers, tattoos, and a touch of magic, you're going to love this episode. Back by popular demand, we have Christy Stewart reading Inked. Plus, we also have an interview with her following the story. Christy talks about the evolution of her career as a voice actress, which includes adventures with country singing stars Garth Brooks and Charlie Pride. It's well worth your time to stick around and hear her incredible stories. If you're curious about a career in voicing or the acting industry, she gives some very salient advice. Inked tells the tale of Lily, a love-struck tattoo artist and the man of her dreams, Snake. When she can't get his attention, she buys some ink with magical properties, and things get very funny very fast. Ink was first published in Jolly Horror's anthology Accursed and reprinted in my own anthology, The Story Behind the Stories. So, pick your favorite tattoo design, roll up your sleeves, and let's launch into Inked.
Inked by Angelique Fons. Her entire body was covered in art. Even with her employee discount at Taboo Tattoo, it had cost her a fortune. Hearts seeped rivulets of blood down her soft white arms. Roses with sharp thorns decorated sturdy legs. Black swans hugged her chest, and snakes slithered down her back. Lily was into bad boys and thought she'd found her soulmate. They just didn't know it yet. Snake was only interested in her as his tattoo artist. She was losing sleep and going crazy, dreaming of the big, heavily tatted man with hypnotic eyes. There was nothing she wouldn't do to get him, including finding herself in a dodgy part of the city in the wee hours of the morning. The shop was called Pagan Possibilities. It could only be accessed off an alley strewn with used needles in the Queen Street West area of Toronto. The shop had once been a garage, and still showed signs of it. Paint peeled from the aluminum siding, and a window was blacked out. The smell of cannabis hung in the air, like long dead skunk. Lily clutched the shop's worn flyer in one sweaty hand, trying to summon up the courage to enter. She hoped she was at the right place. The literature said the shop was only open from midnight till 3 a.m. on Friday nights. So she had hopped on a streetcar and braved drunks, hookers, and opioid users to try her luck. Fingering the stud in her lip, Lily took a deep breath, pushed open the door, and walked in. Licorice incense tickled her nostrils. A low glow came from crystal lamps and candles, and the decor could only be called hoarder chic. Jars filled with murky liquid, candles, incense holders, garden gnomes, pentacles, hundreds of books, and bedazzled shawls fought for space on every dusty shelf and table. Lily picked up a jar, but quickly put it down after seeing toad heads floating in the liquid. There is something you desire, something you want more than anything in the universe. You think I can help you? Said a gravelly voice from the dark. Lily saw a hunched figure in a dim corner of the garage, behind a desk, and started squeezing past overflowing tables. As her eyes adjusted to the gloom, she saw the proprietor of Pagan Possibilities wasn't hunchback, but wearing a set of wings and a positively stunning black lace gown. "Hello, darling. Look at you. Those are some amazing tattoos, and I positively love the purple hair. I'm Penny, and this is my little shop of horrors and wonders," she said, one hand on a slender hip, the other twirling a piece of her long black wig. Lily looked in astonishment at the store owner. She was gorgeous, a serpent-like body, muscular and sensuous, with soft, dark eyes, and only the faint shadow of a beard on her face. "I was at a summer solstice party with some of my Wiccan friends and found this pamphlet. I'm desperately in love with a man who comes to my tattoo shop, and my heart is gonna explode into a million bloody pieces if I can't have him," Lily said, pointing to a tattoo of a shattered heart on her forearm. "Like this. Well, you've come to the right place. I have some powerful potions. But if you're a tattoo artist, I have a really extraordinary ink. But let me warn you, girl. Once you needle this into someone's skin, they will be yours forever. Be sure, or beware," Penny said as she reached beneath the desk and brought out a small container of scarlet liquid. Lily looked in fascination at the iridescent red ink. It slowly swirled and curled in the clear plastic tube.
It almost looks alive. I'll take it. How much?
$300. But make sure this is what you want," Penny cautioned. Lily was already seducing Snake in her mind and quickly counted out $300 in large bills. She handed it to Penny as she tucked the ink into her pocket. Hustling out of there, she went back to her apartment above the tattoo shop to catch a few hours of sleep before her favorite client arrived at noon the next day. When Snake walked into the shop, sweat started to trickle down Lily's armpits. She was wearing her most flattering skull and crossbones mini dress and had made an effort to flat iron the long purple hair on the unshaven side of her head. 6 feet tall, with a gem-toned body, long black hair caught back in a man bun, and startling green eyes, he was the most gorgeous human being on Earth. Luckily, he was addicted to ink and came in at least once a month to get a new tat or add some color to an older one.
"Hi, Lily. I'm looking to add something to my arm sleeve today. Maybe a dragon or a bloody sword?"
Snake said. He untucked his black t-shirt from his tight Levi's and pulled it off. Lily greedily drank in the wide back, taut muscles, and artistic ink covering most of his upper body. She had done most of the work, and a world of castles, dragons, swords, and starships already decorated him.
"How about something special today? I designed this just for you."
Lily showed him a drawing of a large skull whose teeth clenched a rose, dripping blood from the petals.
"That's fantastic. Put it on my tab and let's do it," he said
as he settled into her chair. Lily knew he was good for the cash, so she took out her special tube of scarlet liquid and poured it into the ink cap. It came out in thick globs and looked like it was breathing as it pulsed into the gun. She found a clear place on his forearm and started working on his skin with the tattoo needles. Breathing in his smell of Irish spring soap and sweat, butterflies started their familiar flapping in her belly. How many nights had she lain awake imagining her thighs wrapped around his motorcycle as she pressed her lips into his back, then looking into his eyes over a bonfire as they sipped whiskey.
The hum of the machine masked her excited breathing as the black skull with the red rose appeared beneath her fingers.
A tattoo of this size took her around 4 hours, but the minutes flew by. The longer she could be near Snake, the better. She paid special attention to the flower, making sure the ink was extra vibrant. This tattoo was going to be the most important work of her life. After Lily carefully cleaned the reddened skin, she tried to put a bandage on it. But Snake flapped his hand at her.
"You know me, baby. I live dangerously. Let it breathe.
Snake pulled his t-shirt back on and studied her for a minute. You know, you look different today. Really beautiful. There is something, I don't know. Do you want to go for dinner with me tonight?
Yes.
Lily gasped. That special ink worked fast. The skull on his arm seemed to wink at her, and the blood streaming off the rose looked wet and alive. It's 4 now. What time do you want me to come get you? I almost don't feel like leaving you. I kind of want to stay here and stare at you.
Now? I can go now? You're my last client of the day. The benefits of being self-employed,
Lily said.
Let me grab my purse and we can get some pre-dinner cocktails.
She followed him out of the shop, then locked the door behind her, unable to believe her luck. The newly created skull watched her from his arm. She shook her head. It must be an illusion. No tattoo is actually alive. Snake walked down the hallway and stopped at a touring bicycle, locked to a metal post, with a helmet hanging off the handlebars. Lily's jaw dropped.
I thought you said you rode a mean bike.
Yeah, this is a top-of-the-line Schwinn. Want me to double you? Or do you have your own wheels? Snake said, flashing her his devastating grin. You are gorgeous. Those curves and that purple hair. I don't know how I didn't notice before. Lily stared at the 5-speed, not sure what to say. This put a kink in her Sons of Anarchy fantasy. Here, climb up on the seat and I'll stand and pedal. I'll take you to my place. I got some beer in the fridge, and we can figure out where to go for dinner, he said, looping one long leg over and leaning into the handlebars to make room for her. She climbed up behind him and tried to enjoy holding onto his broad back as he push-pedaled them down the road. At least the guy was environmentally conscious, though it was only about a 10-minute ride. Her dress got wrinkled, and her butt was sore when they showed up outside a small, semi-detached brownstone. They both tumbled off the bike.
Wait till you meet my mom. You're gonna love her. Hey, maybe she can make us dinner tonight and save some money,
Snake said, walking quickly up the driveway after dumping his bike onto the lawn.
You live with your mom still?
Lily asked, as she hustled after him.
Aren't you like 30 years old?
35, actually. She's divorced and likes the company. Besides, I'm between jobs right now, so it works for me.
Snake pushed open the front door.
How long have you been unemployed?
A couple years, but I'm working on an app. Hey, Mom, come meet Lily. She's my tattoo artist.
Lily followed him, noticing the photos of a young snake. He definitely had a dorky pimply stage. And crocheted art informing guests that hookers do it with one hand and I crochet past my bedtime. A gray-haired lady came out of the kitchen smiling.
Snake, I'm glad you finally brought a girlfriend home. I was beginning to think you played for the other team.
Mom, don't embarrass me. I'm taking Lily down to the basement, okay? Maybe you can bring us down some snacks,
Snake said, turning to descend a narrow set of stairs.
Nice meeting you,
Lily said to the still-grinning lady as she awkwardly followed Snake. Getting to the bottom of the twisty stairs, she took in the Star Wars posters, big video game console, ratty couch with a 70s flower pattern, and weight set in the corner. The smell of dirty gym socks and mildew was overpowering. Lily felt her heart sink.
This wasn't quite how she envisioned her first romantic encounter with the man of her dreams. Snake was leaning into a beer fridge and pulled out two bottles of Michelob Ultra.
Here you go, Lily.
Want to play some Mario Kart?
He asked, tossing one to her. Lily twisted off the top and took a long guzzle. Maybe she could save this.
Not big into video games, but I hear there's going to be a rave on the beach tomorrow night. They're bringing in a DJ and everything, she said.
Tomorrow? I can't. That's my Dungeon and Dragons night. You can come play with us if you like,
Snake invited. Lily stared at him. He played fantasy board games? Maybe she couldn't salvage this. He drank his beer in long swallows, and the newly inked skull was laughing at her now. She had been picturing dinner in an exotic restaurant on King Street, with candles flickering as they supped oysters, knowing what that would lead to later. Not mom-made snacks in a man-boy's basement? Where were all his sexy friends who gave themselves tough nicknames?
How did you get the name Snake?
She asked.
Oh, my name is Stanley, but when I was younger, I was really good at snakes and ladders,
he said, plopping himself down on the filthy, torn couch.
So, Stanley, I'm gonna have to get going. Sorry to cut the date short. Hey, when can I see you again? I go to my cosplay club on Sunday. I bet you'd fit right in,
he said, jumping to his feet.
Do you need me to double you back on my bike?
Lily was already walking up the stairs, but stopped.
Cosplay? Oh, what's that?
You dress up as really cool characters and act like them, sometimes make many plays. I never miss Comic-Con.
Lily blinked. She wouldn't be caught dead dressed up as a comic book character. She continued up the stairs and called over her shoulder.
No need for another bike ride. I'll catch a cab.
She could hear Stanley's mom in the kitchen, but slipped out the door without saying goodbye. Lily was disappointed. How did she read him so wrong? Tears streamed down her face as she walked down the driveway. Snake lived in his parents' basement, was unemployed, and played Dungeons and Dragons? And here she thought she was going to be a biker's old lady. Lily wiped away her tears and started laughing. She stopped walking and had to hold on to a lamppost to keep herself up. She laughed and howled and then sunk to her bum, leaning against the pole, completely drained. After ordering an Uber, she went home and fell into an exhausted sleep. For the first night in a long time, she did not dream of rolling around with a naked snake. The next day, Sunday, she had a group of five bridesmaids, along with the bride, come in to get matching ankle tattoos of pink butterflies. She was on the third lady when a ruckus broke out on the sidewalk outside the shop.
Hey, you gotta see this. It's Star Wars out here,
one of the waiting women shrieked. Lily put down the tattoo machine and rushed to the window. There were seven people dressed head to toe in white stormtrooper outfits, doing a dance routine with a portable stereo. A crowd was gathering on the sidewalk. The performers were carrying big black toy guns and making a huge racket shooting them and doing high kicks. The tallest one stopped and yelled,
Lily, this is for you! Your snake loves you!
Lily wanted to disappear in embarrassment. The bridesmaids covered their mouths and giggled. Out on the streets, a couple of news vans showed up. The local news channels were filming the gathering crowd and the stormtroopers' antics. taboo tattoo. It was supposed to be edgy, dark, and mysterious. A group of dancing cosplay stormtroopers were not helping with that image. Her boss was going to be furious, and now it was on the news. She tried to ghost Snake as he sent her text after text that week, ignoring every message. But he didn't give up. Instead, he showed up outside the shop in various costumes, begging her to come over to his place for a Mario Kart marathon. One day, he was a Power Ranger. The next, the Green Lantern. The third time, Deadpool. The week went by excruciatingly slow as she waited for Friday to arrive. Finally, she took the streetcar to Pagan Possibilities in the wee hours of the morning and rushed into the garage as soon as the door was unlocked. If anything, there was more paraphernalia littering the occult store. Lavender incense was burning. Penny sat behind the desk, a private little grin on her face. She had seen the dancing stormtroopers on the news and heard the declarations of love and devotion. Once again, the magic ink had done its job.
Penny, you have to reverse the power of the ink. Snake is not who I thought he was. This guy lives in his mom's basement and doesn't even have a job,
Lily blurted.
I told you to be sure before you imprinted him with it. You were warned, Penny said, ruffling the green ballroom gown she was wearing.
I can't live with this. I don't want to spend my weekends playing fantasy games and traveling by bicycle. Plus, he's scaring off my customers. He shows up wearing cosplay costumes and it's really uncool.
The special ink is much like regular tattoo ink. It will fade in time, and so will its power. You'll just have to be patient. Snake will slowly lose his obsession with you.
What do I do in the meantime?
Lily asked, leaning over the desk, eyes wide in desperation.
Join his cosplay club?
Learn to love dungeons.
And dragons?
The gold here is how Christy nails all the different characters. I hope you enjoyed this reading of Inked, and now let's chat with the talent that brought this story to life. Christy Stewart's career started on stage acting at the age of 14, moved into the CBS newsroom in Oklahoma after college, had some wild times with country music promotion, and then settled into years of high-profile voicing work. Let's get to the interview. It, by the way, thank you for the job you did on Inked. Oh, my God. Oh,
you're welcome. I went out on a limb, and I said, you know, this guy is, you know, he thinks he's sexy, but he's really a nerd. I mean, that's the way I looked at it.
That's correct.
Yeah. And I said, he's got to sound like a nerd. You know, I said, if I make him sexy, it's going to be,
you know, I loved it. I loved your interpretation. So,
oh, well, that's good. Well, that's good. I'm really happy about that.
So how did you get your start as a voice actor?
Well, the funny thing is because the first job I had in the media, I was working at a television station in my hometown of Tulsa. I got an internship on my senior year in university. And working in a newsroom because I was a journalism communications major. And this is way back, 1980 or so. And I worked there for my last semester in university. And they hired me right out of school. So I was very lucky. And one of my favorite shows was Mary Tyler Moore. I mean, a lot of people listening to this will go, what? Anyway, and she was an associate producer. So I thought, wouldn't that be fun to be an associate producer in news? So that was one of my lofty goals at the time. But
that's hilarious that you got that from watching a TV show. I'm going to do it my way.
Are you kidding? Anyway, so I and the characters on that show were not far from the characters I worked with in the TV newsroom where I was. And it was hysterical, and it was a great learning ground. And one of the gentlemen that went quite far, who started out with me, is Anthony Mason, who works on the CBS news, and he does the morning show with the CBS with Gail King and all that. So he was one of the first guys I worked with, which is kind of cool. But to answer your question, that's an indirect way of doing so. The lady who used to do the credits at the end of the newscast, she got sick one day. And somebody came up to me and said, "You have a nice voice. Do you mind running into the audio booth and doing our credits for the end of the newscast tonight?" And I said, "No, I think that'd be great." So I ran in there and I did the, you know, tonight's newscast brought to you by, you know, that kind of thing. Right. And I said, "This is kind of fun. I like it. I said, so I got hooked, you know, and that was really my first taste of it. And then I kind of pursued it further on down the line. And I worked in radio and in Oklahoma City, and I got to do an entertainment segment, which appeared on a weekly basis and in one of the afternoon shows. And so, yeah, and I started pursuing it more and more, but I did it on the side because I always had a job that would pay me money. One of those kind of things. So, yeah.
So was there any sort of, and then you moved into country radio, right? Like you were...
Country radio. I moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma, from news, from the NBC affiliate up to Oklahoma City and working at WKY radio. And it was country. And I got hired for the promotion manager position and loved it. It was a great time. And that's when radio was radio. It's changed so much nowadays, and you know, most of it's automated and there's not a lot of live jocks on the air anymore, that kind of thing. So really interesting personalities on the air, a lot of fun. The station I worked for was owned by Gaylord Broadcasting, who at that time happened to own the television program, Hee Haw, owned the Opryland Hotel, owned the Nashville Network, which was in existence at that time, TNN, which is no longer, you know, Grand Old Opry, all those kind of things. So had lots of opportunities.
Yeah, what an amazing old school world, right? We went to the old...
Oh, no, it was fabulous. It was fabulous. So I had the opportunity at that time to meet a lot of people in the industry. And the fun times we had, I think that I enjoyed really meeting up-and-comers. And one of those up-and-comers was Garth Brooks.
Oh, you met Garth.
I met Garth. And he was so much fun. Anyway, you know, and he still lives in Oklahoma with his wife. And he came to the radio station, I guess, to promote his first single. And he was on the afternoon show. And we decided to put posters up around the studio. And what we did was say, "Go Garth, go Garth, go," all around the studio. And he came in and he was so sweet and he was so outgoing. And he just said, "Oh my God, I love this." You know, it was kind of like, you know, he was adorable. I think he was on Jack Elliott's show. And Jack Elliott and a former co-host of his, Ron Williams, they both have a podcast now, which is interesting. And it goes nationwide. So, and it airs on Mondays, which is kind of cool. So he's remained in the industry for a long, long time. But Garth was one of the fun ones. And then I have a great memory of meeting Charlie Pride, who just recently passed away. He had a record promotion at that time. You know, it was records. It wasn't CDs. It wasn't a download. And we had set up a promotion for him at a local record station or record store. And we flew him in via helicopter. And I got to go with him, which is kind of cool. So I was his escort for the day. Oh, and we flew in and landed outside of this the record store. And people were lined up waiting and in and out of the store. And then we find out that there's a tornado warning.
Oh, no. Not perfect.
Being in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a tornado warning, and we're like, oh my gosh, what do we do? You know, and they locked down the store, and they waited till after the weather had passed. But hundreds of people came in, you know, to meet him and to get autographs and to buy his album. And what a nice man. He was so sweet. He was so outgoing and, you know, took time with everybody. And, you know, I won't forget that time. And my program director, manager was there, Ted Kramer, and he drove us, I think, away after all the storm and everything had hit. But yeah, we had a really, really great time. And I met a lot of fun people, BJ Thomas, Lyle Lovett, just, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So love that job.
And then you sort of, I know you started skewing more towards voice, because how I know you is, of course, is the voice of Prime TV and Global TV.
Right, right.
Absolutely my favorite voice to work with. I tried to do that. I used to write my promos with your voice in my head.
How sweet.
Actually, like, I always had Christy's voice in my head as I was creating my commercials. So do you have any hints? Let's say somebody's interested in a voice career. Like, do you have any hints for them?
I get asked that a lot. It's really the industry itself seems like there's a lot of people out there wanting to get into voice work, and it's almost hard to give them a 1, 2, 3, and you're going to be in the industry. I think it's so important to have a background in acting or theater, and being able to determine what the character is of the read, if it's a product, if it's a person, you know, look at it, take time to look at the script, figure out where's this going. And even if there is a direction from somebody that has written the script or the director, just, you know, find your sweet spot. Not everybody is suited just to read a narration. Not everybody is suited just to read a commercial. And take your time, practice. Also, sit in on voice classes, you know, mentors. Get tips from as many people as you can in the industry, because you never stop learning. And it's important. And listen to commercials. Try to pick up intonations and voices. But most importantly, be yourself. Be yourself, because so many people try to imitate other people and it doesn't work. And today, when I receive a script for a commercial, most people are asking for, they want conversational, boy next girl. I mean, boy next door. Well, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Boy next girl.
You won't know.
Then you get into the he, she scenario. But anyway, but you get all kinds of directions from people and you kind of look at it and go, wait a minute, what do they really want? You know? So in essence, look at the script and interpret it the way you would. Yeah. Just by being yourself. Yeah.
That does make sense, because then you can get, I mean, even this is what's interesting, even podcasting, and I am not like thrilled with my own voice. I'm not a voice actor. I'm not, but I have learned it seems to work if I'm just myself, because, you know, Global TV doing the podcast for Big Brother Canada. I don't know if you knew that or not, that we have that big podcast.
No, I didn't. That's great.
Yes,
that's great.
We launched it and I didn't want to be a voice.
But you have a nice voice. There's nothing wrong with your voice.
It's friendly, I guess, but
No, that's awesome.
Once again, it was one of those situations where nobody else was going to do it for me. And I started working
right
with Karen, and Karen's actually got a beautiful voice. So, it worked. So we're now 2 seasons in. I'm sure we're coming back next season, but it's interesting. You're right. Everybody's voice can have something interesting in them, but then I think it's the next step for you to like have a career in it, like you. And then you do have to have a range. You have to be able to act. You have to be able to interpret. And those are all
correct.
Skill set, right?
Correct. And it also helps to network with people. And it also helps to have a terrific demo and find somebody that's going to represent you, you know, get an agent once you can. And if you're really serious about working in the industry, you need that. You really do. You need somebody out there fighting for you.
Right. So you've done lots of different things. You've done, you know,
right.
commercials, I think you've narrated books, right? Have you done any
yes.
book narration? And
yeah.
then now you're doing these short stories for me. And you've even been like the voice prompts on, I was reading Ivy, like the voice prompts for companies.
Oh yeah. I've worked for a company called On Hold Marketing for more than 20 years and done many voice prompts for them. And primarily I'm the voice for Toronto Hydro now. So if you're, you know, if your hydro goes you down or they raise the rates and you're not happy, you'll call in and you'll hear my voice.
That's hilarious. So, there you go. The voice of Toronto Hydro.
Right here. That's right. I know.
Yeah, so what's your favorite sort of work to do?
You know what? I'm really enjoying these short stories that you've done. I think they're great. I love promos, as you know, and I like doing commercials. I think they're fun, and they're not too long, and it's some of them are very. I think what I like more than anything is a challenge. When you go in and you see something and you go, how am I going to do this? And they want me to do this in 30 seconds and, you know, or 15 seconds. Okay, well, let me see. I can do that, but I have to figure it out in my brain how I'm going to tackle that. And I really enjoy that. And I've even done some overdubbing or talking on top of, you know, actors that they don't like their voice. And they've had me come in and say, well, do you mind doing this? And it's so much fun. It's difficult, but you're sitting there watching the person talk. So basically you're reading their lips and you're trying to match your voice with them speaking, which is
very hard.
Interesting. Yeah. It's very hard, but I like it. It's fun. It's fun. I guess I like a challenge. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough. That's interesting. I never even knew that they did that, but
yeah.
I guess I do. Can you give us can you tell us when you've done? Is it a thing?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. It's four different corporate videos. There was one that was a short film that I did, and it was a lady. They really did not like her voice. It was kind of a high, and I don't know the name of the video or the film. But it was quite interesting. It took us a while. I was in there. I had to do a couple of scenes. So it probably took us a couple of hours to do it. But yeah, okay. But I enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. When you were bringing up how you like the promos and the short stories, I wonder if you're sort of like me. So the reason why I like promos, obviously, people know I'm a promo producer as a career.
Right.
I love instant gratification. That's why I like cutting promos and short stories instead of a novel, because I like to know, I like to see my results instantly. I like that feeling of pride I get. Once again, you get a challenge. They want you to have how much information in 30 seconds?
Right.
You manage
to. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And you do see it at the end and you kind of go, wow. And the stuff that you wrote was fabulous. It really was. And it's nice to hear that you wrote it for my voice because I always felt comfortable reading your stuff.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like you have a career that you want.
You have to love it. You have to love it. And I tell people all the time, I said, if you don't love what you're doing, find something else.
So how do you take care of your voice, Christy? Like what do you do as a voice actor too?
Well, that's a good question. Usually if I have a session and I know I have to record something, I certainly don't drink coffee right before because it really dries you out. I drink tons of water every day. And if I do have something like my throat is scratchy, I'll have a tablespoon of honey.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, which is nice. Or, you know, hot tea or honey, that kind of thing. But I stay away from the caffeine because it does dehydrate you. And I drink tons of water every day. And I also think it's so important to stay physically in shape, to exercise. Because if you feel good, you sound good, you look good, right?
That makes sense. That mm-hmm. probably good advice for life, not just your voice.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. But a lot of people, I think they overtax their voice and don't rest it. And it's important to rest your voice as well. I find that early morning and late afternoon, early evening are the best times for my voice if I'm going to do something.
So what's in the future? Because I know you never stop. You're always doing something, looking for something new, which is why you're doing this. Just
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I don't know. I don't ever want to quit doing voice. I don't ever want to quit acting because I love it and enjoy it. And I never know what's around the corner, which is exciting for me. I'd like to travel a bit since I am getting older. So I'd really enjoy that. So I'm looking forward to doing something like that. And I also might pick up the pen, which I used to do all the time, and do some writing of my own.
Where can people find you online?
So you know, ChristyStewart.com, basically.
ChristyStewart.com. And I'll update I'll put it in my show notes so people can find
it. Okay, that's great.
Hint, hint, needs somebody for their own voice project. Christy's a consummate professional, I can tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. I really do. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening and hanging in till the very end. If you want to learn more about Christy Stewart, Jolly Horror Press, or Inked, you can find the show notes at www.fonz.ca and click on the podcast page. Sleep well until the next episode of Read Me a Nightmare.